Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7.
Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport as we go into the second hour of our live programme here from the Cedric Ford Pavilion at the last ever new Newark Youth League presentation evening. And have I got a super duper guest for you? I'm going to get this title right now. CEO of the Nottinghamshire Football Association. I used to know her as the secretary, but they don't call them secretaries anymore. Mrs. Elaine Oram. Elaine, welcome back to Newark Radio, because you've been on the radio in Newark before, haven't you?
I have
in a different guise, but you've been on there. That's why I say Newark Radio, but your first time in this, guys. Well, welcome back to Newark.
Thank you.
You're looking very well. You're keeping well. How's the strains and stresses of running the County Association?
Yes, very stressful, very busy. Everybody keeps saying it's time to put my feet up now for the summer, but it doesn't happen like that. We're already in affiliation processes and registering referees, and there is no break in the season anymore. So, it's full on.
Times have changed since my day. The theme of the first hour going around talking to people is mainly the youth, and we'll start with the youth, if I may. We seem now to be going away from the win-at-all-costs syndrome, and we're trying to make the lads and the girls better footballing people. It's been a long time in coming, but I think the FA have now, it's finally clicked somewhere in there, hasn't it?
And player development.
What are you getting back from the player development as opposed to the win-at-all-costs? Are you noticing this?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, the sort of process that clubs have to go through now for charter standard, getting coaches better qualified, and all the, you know, the regulations regarding safeguarding everything else, it's really changed the landscape of youth football, and it is very much about developing that player and trying to see a pathway through football for them.
What's happened here in Newark over the last 2 years has sort of brought it home to us, because when Glenn and Ted said, you know, we've done our bit, we're giving you 2 years notice, and that, you know, you can't ask for any more than that, and nobody wanted to take the mantle on, and this is worrying.
It's very difficult to get volunteers. People's lifestyles have changed. They're working longer hours. The work-life balance is more difficult to find. It's difficult. You're not the only league to be struggling to find, you know, to do succession planning with volunteers. But I think looking positively, you know, what the league has done in terms of merging with the YEL and the support that the YEL can bring in terms of they've got paid employees and volunteers.
I agree with you.
It's very positive, and actually you should be really proud of your committee, because they've done the best for the players, the clubs, and Newark itself.
I can't help but thinking in my day when the acrimonious falling out between the Notts Alliance and the Notts Senior League and the MAA and all, you know,
those days haven't gone yet.
Okay, but these guys have gone for, you know, it's not all about us calling ourselves the Newark Youth League, as we've been here X number of years. It's about providing football for the boys, it's not a name. And yes, I will say it, the adults ought to sit back and learn a little bit.
Yes, they did. The league deserves a lot of credit for not just walking away. The members haven't just walked away and left, you know, the clubs in the lurch. They've worked tirelessly over the last couple of years to make sure that football in Newark for the youngsters can continue.
The night is, of course, the night, of course, as much as anything, is about Ted Harris.
Yes.
And Ted is a breed that we won't see anymore, isn't he? He's happiest with his biro and his pen. And when Tony was at the Newark Advertiser, he would ring Tony up on a Monday morning, and Monday morning would then go into Monday afternoon, and Ted would still be telling him the scores.
On Tuesday.
And that was what it's all about, the days before. Absolutely. Laptops and computers and... you won't see the likes of Ted again, will you?
The man hours that this guy has put into this, making this league as successful as it is incredible. So, people just don't have that willingness to commit as Ted has done all these years. And, it's sad in that respect. But, you know, I think he'll be well recognised here tonight.
Let's take it on to adult grassroots football, because certainly Newark has been in the doldrums. What's the county scene like?
Very bleak, actually. The whole national programme in terms of adult male football is on the decline. You know, we over the next couple of years, there are going to be some difficult decisions to be made in the adult male game, certainly. And again, it comes down to lifestyles, lack of volunteers, wanting to run clubs, selecting a one-man band, and the fat guy backs up. They fold, so it's not a pretty picture, actually, in terms of the
senior league tends to book that trend, though, don't it? The Saturday senior, not senior league, they seem to, on the face of it, going forward.
Yeah, they seem to be. Obviously, now, as well as we also sanction the Central Mids League now, because that came back from the FA. They decided that county...
Oh, right, so it's county now, is it?
It's county sanctioned now. So, interesting times
there again, it's... you've got two Step 7 leagues on each other's doorstep. I mean, from the outsider, it's just silly.
Yeah. I think the next couple of seasons we're going to see some decisions will have to be made to preserve what we've got in Nottinghamshire. Really.
What I've got no doubt you're going to be very proud of, though, is the ladies' participation.
Yes.
In not just football, Elaine, in rugby, in cricket. On our little sports show, we have the Newark Rugby Girls who up until a couple of weeks ago was national champions, and yes, that's the second club for tonight. My little favourites, the Newark Rugby Girls. We've got we had the captain of the Notts under 15s girls, and she's 13.
Yes.
In the studio the other night. Ladies' sport, ladies' sport is doing remarkably well, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. In terms of the football side, which is obviously what I'm connected with the FA, I think the success of the Lionesses and the World Cup and that, it's really spurred on that interest. I won't talk too much about the difficulties we've experienced with the WSL club in Nottinghamshire of late, which is sad and very disappointing, but we're just at the moment going through a strategy review, so we're going to be building a strategy for women and girls football in Nottinghamshire, which will have lots of partners around the table looking at it in terms of education. And the next 6 months or so, I think we're going to see a women and girls strategy designed specifically for Nottinghamshire. Which all the leagues will be involved in as well, and so it's exciting times, really.
And on the other sort of sphere that Tony and I are very proud to talk about on Newark sport is, and I hate the term disabled sport because it's wrong. It's just something I don't like saying, but I have to call it disabled sport because I don't think what else to call it. But now we are encompassing the less fortunate amongst us into mainstream sport.
Yes.
Again, when somebody looks back to me and said, what's changed in your time in sport? Tony's hit the nail on the head, and I do keep using it because I think it was lovely. When he was editor of the sports pages, mm-hmm. if a disabled sports club did something, it would go on the news pages.
Yeah.
Now it goes... Pages.
Yes,
important to the Notts FA is the development of the disabled game of football?
It's very important. We have a dedicated disability football development officer in Sarah at the office, and she's funded externally, and she designs a programme with other partners through the Nottinghamshire Disability Football Family. And we deliver a wide range of activities and different events for disability football, obviously linking into the professional clubs that we've got locally as well, and they, through their community programs, they run some extremely good programs, and it's very successful, and we can attract a lot of funding through that for dedicated disability sports. But of course there are some disabled players playing in mainstream football teams as well, and we help support clubs to develop their needs as well. It's very strong.
It's funny in some ways. It's not funny in our half funny, but it's funny in some ways that the one thing we spoke about that is struggling is mainstream adult men's football. Everything else, the juniors, the ladies, yeah, the disability, is absolutely booming.
Absolutely.
But the traditional game seems to be struggling, and it does take a lot of working out. I spoke to John Mersch a little bit earlier on, and we'll say the investment at St George's Park is beginning to come through. Do you have any input into St George's Park at all?
No, not really. In fact, there have been times when some of the younger age groups, certainly in the women's side, haven't been able to stay there because it's just so busy. And of course, you've seen the success of some of the youth male teams, England teams this week. And so, it gets harder and harder to actually get into to stay there with the youngsters. I'm involved in the England youth setup, so we've played a couple of finals there, the under 16 finals, and it's a great venue for a youngster to play out. It's really motivating, I think.
So let's get down to Elaine Oram now, then, shall we? I mean, you took over from I use the word legend again, because in my words, certain people in this world are, and you took over from Mick Kilvey, who took over from Terry Annable. Now, how you follow in those two footsteps, and you have, because you're still there. How long now?
17 years.
17 years. Yeah, so you've outlasted Mr. Kilvey.
Are we still around?
Did you ever think, when Mick decided that enough was enough, and you sort of, I'll give it a go, did you think 17 years later you would still be
CEO? I mean, it was 2008, I think, 2007-8, when Mick decided that, his loyalties lay with his family, and quite rightly so, and decided to step down from the full-time role. But actually, if I'm honest, I can't believe the difference in the job now. And I know Mick used to say before he finished with the working at the office, he wouldn't have wanted to do the job as it is now. And even the last couple of years, it's changed beyond all recognition. A lot of my priorities lie with running the business. Sometimes I can go a couple of days and think, oh, actually, it's football I'm dealing with here, which is a sad part for me, really, which is why evenings like tonight
brings
are
it back.
So important to me, because this is what it's about.
I think it is a business now, and it wasn't as business in that sense when Mick and Terry... I mean, Terry did it from the sort of back bedroom and whatever else, almost.
Just Barbara helping him.
But now you are running a...
It is. It's a big business. We're heavily funded by the FA. So, we have an agreement with them, a funding agreement. We have to adhere to various conditions within that agreement, which mean that we are accountable to them for the funding that they give us. It has changed beyond all recognition, and I think that's something that our council have recognised. Your time, we probably talked about football at meetings.
Yes.
Now it's mainly about business and different programmes we want to deliver and things like that. So it has changed, certainly the last 5 years.
Can you still get councillors, or is that hard work?
We've had quite a few new ones come on, but we're just going through a restructure of that at the moment, because there's more works come into the office. There's more things driven by the FA, so the staff are having to deliver more. So there's less opportunity for committees to sit and for those people to actually sit on a committee. And of course, we've got a lot of life vice presidents that feel as though they have done their time and they've served the Notts FA extremely well, but they like to hand over to younger people now. So, but again, we come back to the progression through the leagues and the succession planning. So
and the future of a county FA, will we still see Nottinghamshire FA in 5 years' time, or will we see an East Midlands FA or a Midlands FA?
See a regional. I mean, the FA say that's not where they see it, but I think if they had a blank piece of paper now, they wouldn't start with 50 different FAs. So I think it's...
We'd like to be answerable to a lot fewer than 50 of you.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we've got things like the sin bins that are coming on board and things like that, which will impact on county FA funding and things. So, yeah, there's I think the next couple of years...
And of course, the one thing that doesn't really change is the funding, is the affiliation and those red and yellow cards.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm sponsoring your holidays. You know, how many times have you heard? How many times have you heard that one?
Christmas party. Yeah, normally sort of November, December. It's I'm coming in to fund your Christmas party. So but we'll see.
You've heard that one a time or two, haven't you?
I have. Yes. Yeah, we have. But I would say that we're not for profit as an organisation, and every profit we do make goes back into grassroots football. It isn't...
You'll never convince footballers of that, though, ever.
No, absolutely. Unfortunately, we don't have the same money as the FA in the Premier League.
Oh, good stuff. Elaine, thank you so much for coming over to Newark for this, to start with, and then spending 20 minutes and chatting to us. And it's absolutely...
My pleasure. It's absolutely
lovely to see you all again. And we hope we'll have another presentation over here and we'll do another live show. We can talk to you again.
Yeah.
Elaine Oram, CEO of the Notts FA. Thank you very much. Welcome back to a Radio Newark Sports special here at the Cedric Ford Pavilion, at the last ever Newark Youth League presentation evening, and waiting in the wings, the one and only Mr. Phil Joslin. But the real stars of the show now surround me, and that's the under-11s of Orsall Football Club near Retford. Yay! And they've all got the trophies, and we're going to have a quick chat with... You're surely not under 11, you're taller than me! With Harvey, he's the captain. He's about 6 foot tall, and he's the captain. Harvey, are you proud of your lads?
Yeah, we did really well this season.
You did really well. So, under 11s, sportsmanship trophy, two trophies in your hand. What's the two trophies? That's the team one, and that's yours.
Yeah.
Excellent. Do you know how many games you won?
Two.
There you go, you see. And that proves it's not all about winning, because every single one of these... has got a smile on the face. Can you remember your two victories, or is it three victories?
We had two.
Two victories. You remember the two victories. All right. Also in Retford, whereabouts do you actually play then? Tell me where in Retford you play.
We play next to a rugby club on a football pitch.
Do you want to take them on at rugby?
Yeah.
I play for the rugby. You play for the rugby club as well. All right. Good stuff. Right, so let's find out who we're talking to. Let's have some names. So we're going to go around that way. We've spoke to Harvey, so tell me who your name is.
Alex. Sam. Max.
Connor.
Cam.
Leo.
Ralph.
Alex.
And how many of you support Manchester United?
Nobody!
One, two. Yeah. Two out of... Okay. Dear. Well, this is a non-Man United zone, you see. So, who else do you support? Who do you support?
Borussia Dortmund.
Oh, that's a different one. I like that one.
Arsenal.
Yeah, okay.
Barcelona, Sheffield Wednesday and all.
Yeah!
That's a little bit different. Yeah. Sheffield Wednesday's better. Yeah.
Chelsea.
Leeds United.
Leeds United?
Oh,
jeez. Right, okay.
Notts County and Dortmund.
Notts! Blooming County!
Sheffield Wednesday.
Spy right.
Liverpool.
You were Man United one, yeah?
Man United and Mansfield Town.
It's nice that we've got some Sheffield supporters up there, of course we're a little bit near in Retford. So, even though you didn't win many matches, you all love playing football. And are you all going to play football again next season for Orsall?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And what's next season going to bring? Is it going to bring some more victories?
Yeah, hopefully.
We're going to win. So when we sit here again this time next year and you've got the league trophy in your hands, I know you're all right. Yeah. The under-11s Sportsman's Award, and that is what football is all about. Superstars from Orsall near Retford. Well done, boys. Thank you very much. There you go. So you see there, that's what it's all about, because they won two matches all season, Phil Joslin, and they've got a smile on the face. And they really are happy. And it looks like I've got another bunch to talk to over there. Phil, I'll get to you in a minute. It's all go, isn't it? Who are we going to talk to? Who have we got now to talk to?
East Bridgeford under-13s won the sportsmanship.
The East Bridgeford under-13s. So we talked to the Orsall, who's won the sportsman's awards. This is the East Bridgeford under-13s, who's won the sportsman. Who's the captain? You're the captain. Always go for the tallest for the captain, don't they? What's your name, young man?
Joe.
And how many games did you win?
I'm not sure. About seven.
You won the Sportsman's Award then, so you're obviously all behave on a football field. Is it important to do what the referee tells you and behave? No back chat, nothing like that.
Yeah, because if you back chat, then he could just send you off straight away and you don't want that.
Exactly.
So you're all these Bridgford players, so let's find out who you are.
I'm Sam, the goalkeeper.
The goalkeeper?
Yeah.
I'm Evan, the left mid.
I'm Elliot, the right back.
I'm Joe and I play on right wing.
I'm Johnny and I'm anywhere. Warmer. Oh, no.
The bench warmer. That's the most important player you've got, because without them, there wouldn't be a football team.
I'm Callum, the striker / left winger.
Striker. So what's it like playing in goal behind this lot?
It's worrying. Quite a lot of things we have to go through at the back. And it's very upsetting when we're getting every ball flying past you. But
I'll give you one word of advice. So I used to be a goalkeeper, so I'll give you one word of advice about goalkeeping. Before they blame you for anything, you blame them. Soon as that ball goes in the net, turn around to one of them and say it was their fault. Yeah?
All right.
So are you going to play for East Bridgeford again next season?
Yeah. There's only like five players, so yes.
You have a special contract with Barcelona, so you'll be going over to Spain then, will you? Right. I hope you're not a professional contractor as a goalkeeper, because he's just dropped his trophy on the floor. Boys from East Bridgford, well done, boys. Keep playing football, keep enjoying it. Okay. Phil, we'll try again. Phil, it's nice to see the youngsters smiling.
Fantastic. Fantastic, mate. It's absolutely what it's all about nowadays, isn't it? Absolutely.
Can I just start you off with refereeing and three names, really. There's young Sam and Brandon, who we've both spoken to on Radio New at Sport. They're the future.
Yep.
Coming in next Tuesday night is David Coote, who is a now, a present, and your good self that's been there, got the T-shirt.
Yeah.
First of all, let's start with Phil Joslin. What you're up to now?
Yeah, I'm heavily involved. Still heavily involved with the PGMOL. I'm observing referees, and next year I'm just be going. We've been struggling for talent coaches in the referees domain. So next season I'm going to be looking at level 2Bs without their knowledge, and then reporting on how they can enhance. So it's like coming to watch you, Michael, do this. Somebody might be watching you and they might offer you some little tips to improve you. And of course,
he does
not
all the time.
But there's some semblance in that. Because if you know that somebody's coming to watch you doing your job,
yeah,
you will do the best you can.
And people listen to people like yourself who's been there. And,
well, you'd like to think so.
And got it, so they should listen. And it's lovely that you're still putting something back into a game that you took so much pleasure out of. Moving on to Coote.
Yeah, yeah.
Young Coote, what you wish. Had a long chat with him on Saturday when he was ready to do his cricketing bit. They've been told to get him immersed into different sports, apparently. So he's playing for Collingham during the summer.
That's right.
He joined he went with the elite list, didn't he? There's three of them, he tells me.
That's right.
One of them's been let go. One of them has given a game, and David's been told he may well have a game, but he's going back to the Championship at the beginning. David is that close, isn't he? He's an inch away.
Yeah, football's football, whether you're playing or whether you're refereeing, there's fine dividing lines. But David's done very, very well, and he'll continue to do that. He believes in himself, and he's great for Newark. He's fantastic for Newark that Dave will still do anything that he can to support Newark football.
Where do you personally think David Coote can go?
Well, I've been in football a long, long time, and David can go right to the top. You need a little bit of luck. He's a great person to know, and he's good on and off the park. Very good off and off the park.
He was telling me that we're having a bit of a laugh, because I was winding him a little bit about he didn't give a penalty to Matt Ritchie at St James's Park, and he'd got 52,000 Geordies sort of bellowing, and he was telling me that when the Geordies really do let go at St James Park, the atmosphere is almost second to none. And one of your all-time classic stories, of course, was at St James's Park, wasn't it, with Mr Shearer?
Yeah, it was. It was, and we all make mistakes. Move on.
Have you met Alan Shearer since?
Yeah, I've met him since.
And I take it you're the best of friends.
Well, I wouldn't say the best of friends, because I'm just low profile. Yeah, but
no,
yeah,
you're not.
I mean, people. Yeah, it's an emotional game, football, and things do take over. But when football's finished, whether you're playing, whether you're refereeing, it finishes, and the best people sort of says, I've made a mistake, or. Yeah. Well, you've not made a mistake.
I can't ask David, because it would be unfair to ask David, but I can ask you, what was your favourite ground?
Oh, Wembley, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the real Wembley, not the one they've got now.
Both.
Yeah.
I was fortunate to referee at the new Wembley twice and fortunate to be on the line 7 times in the old Wembley. So, yeah, fantastic memories. But they're memories now, and getting back to tonight, it's all about enhancing children, and I was fortunate enough to be up at... Flow serve only 11 days ago to referee the youngsters, and it was fantastic looking at 700 children really enjoying football, and that's what it's all about.
But you know, you've sort of moved me off yourself, and that's typical Phil Joslin, really. But you are totally right in what you said, but those children would also do what we're doing and sort of sit around you and listen to your stories, because it's people like yourself, Phil, that's been there and done it and got the T-shirt that make us all want to go that little bit further.
It's kind of you to say that, but things move on, and I never wanted to say this is what I did, because things have moved on. The better referees now than when I was refereeing, the better assistants. And, you know, if I can enhance that by giving people little tips, that's what it's all about. But... yeah.
But I can remember interviewing you for the Advertiser prior to the FA Cup final, and you told me that the thing you were most worried about and anxious about was when they played Abide With Me, was that you weren't going to cry.
I still cry now, Tony. I still cry now. You ask my wife, I still cry now. I really do. Yeah, I still cry now. It's
but fantastic. When you've been involved in occasions like that, then it must be...
I have to pinch myself.
Memories for life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's memories for life. And meeting Nelson Mandela was another memory for life. But, you know, that's what football, that's what refereeing, that's what the support mechanism in Newark did to me. They enhanced me. You know, they told me when I was refereeing on Sunday morning, and I'm still refereeing, that, you know, they said I might make it. And people was positive around me, so
yeah,
a lot to be thankful for, many people.
And let's sort of end where we began, Phil, with the youngsters, and
thank you. Yep.
Talking about Sam and Brandon, and Sam come into the studio and chatted for three quarters of an hour, and chatted ever so well. He really did chat well. And the thing that came over very strongly from him, very importantly, is the support from the referees society, and that's probably where I want to go now a little bit. The youngsters now are not on their own, are they, coming through? They've got the likes of your good self and the team looking after them, whereas it could be said 20 years ago it was a one-man band and you could be very lonely. There's no need for them to be lonely now, and I think it's telling, because they are, at one stage we all said there'll be no football left because there'll be no referees. We're now saying there's no football left because there's no teams.
It's great, Mike, that you did that. And I'm sure Dave Plarrart, who's the chairman of the Newark Referee Society, will invite you all to a Newark Referee Society meeting. And Mike, I know you used to come, but you'll be absolutely amazed. And you would, Tony, as well. The work, the support. And, you know, I sat there in awe of two referees, Brandon and Sam, doing a presentation to Newark Referees Society at one of our meetings this year. I was in awe of that. 14-year-olds doing presentations. It's amazing.
It's times are changing, Phil, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, for the better, for the good.
They really are changing. Phil, a night like this is what you enjoy the best, isn't it?
I love nights like this, but people have been fantastic in Newark, you Glenn Cobb, and you guys are support football, and I do listen to 107.8, and you know, you're always positive. Tony Smith was ever so positive. He supported Newark football, supported Newark sport, and it's fantastic to listen to you guys support Newark sport.
We realise when you sit in that studio and the youngsters, particularly the youngsters that come in, you know, for a little market town in the middle of England, we have got some cracking sports people. Yeah, we really have.
Yeah,
got some cracking youngsters, never mind the sport aspect of it. When the youngsters come in, you get 14-year-olds talking
and off the park.
24-year-olds. Unbelievable,
yeah.
Times are changing and times are changing. But Elaine come and talk to her. She says he's running the business now. She can go days about talking about, well, that's probably a downside. That's probably a downside, yeah. But our love is football. And it always is. Phil, as ever, great to talk to you. I'll get you back into the studio because, despite what you say, the rest of Newark love listening to Phil Joslin's stories. They really do. And we'll get you in for a night of reminiscing. Last night we had Donny Agin. Are you too young for Donny?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we had Donny Agin, and we reminisced about Simmos in the olden days. And I was in my element. It was wonderful, Phil. For now, though, thank you very, very much. You've still got that handshake, haven't you? It's still always. For radio, it's got the handshake, and I'm now off to A&E to have my hand put back on. Phil, I told you it was a night of stars tonight. Phil Joslin, Elaine Oram, they're absolutely superstars. But, you know, there is only one place to end our two-hour show tonight, and it's a two-hour tribute to the new Newark Youth League, because... Yes, they'll still be here next year, but they'll be under the YEL. But the gentlemen that we're going to talk to in a few minutes won't be. And it's these gentlemen that has countless thousands of youngsters in Newark have gone through the ranks with Ted Harris and with Glenn Cobb. And we're going to end this show by chatting to those two gentlemen. Welcome back for the final part of our two-hour special live from the Cedric Ford Pavilion. Our little tribute to the new Newark Youth League. And we end by talking to, I'll say the real stars of the show. These are all going to tell me that the children are the real stars of the show, but without these gents I'm going to talk to now, there would be no Newark Youth League. Our youngsters would not come through the ranks, would not go on to play professional football, and countless thousands of them wouldn't have had an opportunity to play the game they like best. We have Alan Smith, the treasurer. We have Glenn Cobb, the chairman.
Hi, mate.
And we have the man himself, Ted Harris. I'm not going to say what he is. I'm just going to say Ted Harris, because that's all I need to say. Everybody in this town knows of Ted. And Tony will say I use the word legend too often. Tony, in the case of this man, I'm right.
In the words of a former Nottingham Forest manager, you're right up there as a legend. And if you're not, you're in the top one.
He really is. It's been an emotional night for all three of you gentlemen. Ted more so, because the new Newark Youth League has been Ted's life in football, and he's now sort of stepping down from it. So a really emotional night. But Glenn, you've had a smile on your face all night. Is that a false smile, or is it a relieved smile, or is it... What is it?
Well, if I don't smile, I'll be crying. So there's enough tears been spilt already this evening. But what a fabulous evening we've had. I'd like to think of it as the end of one era, but the start of a new era. Obviously, all the teams now go to compete in the localised leagues in Newark under the YEL banner. A very, very well-run league. We're very, very well-structured. And I'm sure the Newark Youth League teams will do very, very well and enjoy themselves in the future in the YEL.
As I said to Andrew Hardy earlier on tonight, it's been a traumatic 2 years for all of you, hasn't it? Because you made the decision, you made it public, and nobody came forward and said, thank you very much, I'll take on the mantle. How much did that pull at the heartstrings when nobody came forward? And how close was you all to saying... We're going to have to carry on.
Very much so. And to be honest, a real surprise. There's always people who are involved in football with their children. which is how we all got involved in the first place. And once they've finished playing football, then why don't those parents carry on and look after either, you know, the teams or the league? And the people seem to just forget about the league. And unfortunately, you know, we're virtually expired. There comes a point in time where you've got to say just enough is enough. So unfortunately, we're just going to have to drop the mantle, if you like, and pass it over to the YEL.
As it's turned out, though, with the YEL coming on board, it's possibly the best possible answer, because what you're actually doing is amalgamating the two best-run youth leagues in the county.
We are, Mick. You're quite right there. And I think when you take county football as a whole, I think you'll find within the next 10 to 15 years that Nottinghamshire football will become regionalised. Us across here in the east, I know the YEL are looking to regionalise their leagues because they're that big, to cut down on the travelling and get more children's participation in the sport. You've already mentioned about us calling it a day. We've come up with the best possible solution to keep the children playing football and keep them playing locally, and I'm sure they'll all do well in the YEL. Regarding us three wise gents, you could say, we still will be active behind the scenes in a minor role. The youth league in Newark is basically mothballing. We will become a group of trustees to look after the new Youth League accounts and to support and help other clubs in the future with developments of their sporting facilities. So we shall still be there. And should people come forward in 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time and say, hey, come on, let's get the Youth League back up and running again, we will be there to help them and to support them. So there is a possibility that it could come back again at some point in the future.
Glenn, Mick spoke to Mrs. Cobb earlier and asked what your plans were going to be. Do you like painting?
I like going down my allotment. I'm not sure about painting. I thought I'd lost all my paintbrushes, but she's probably gone out there and brought me some more.
And what are your plans, Ted, for your well-earned retirement?
At the moment, not a lot.
Are you still making model planes?
I am, yeah. It's going to be a big gap. It's going to be hard to fill. But we've got to do it. I mean, as Alan quite rightly said, all it needed was one volunteer from one team. And when you consider we had 11 leagues, an average of 10 teams, that's an average of, say, 100 people involved in each team. You only needed one volunteer per league, and we'd have still been going. But we didn't get those volunteers, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, somebody else got to do it now.
Well, I know from my experience at the Advertiser how much work you put in, and they probably didn't fancy it, Ted.
Well, probably not, no. They could have split it.
I know, but
they could have split it up between them if they wanted to.
But you used to sleep very well, didn't you?
I did,
after
yeah.
a day's work with the typewriter.
I have to give you all the information later on, doing all the work for you.
Ted, do you know how many youngsters have come through the Newark Youth League ranks, or how many clubs do you keep those sort of stats?
I keep the registration stats, and the last count, I think, was 28,000.
28,000 youngsters through the Newark Youth League board.
Some re-registrations, and it also includes new registrations. So in the 19 years, that's what we've done.
It's a phenomenal figure, isn't it?
Mm. I hate to think how many match reports that included checking out. How many fines have gone out through those poor match reports.
Glenn, the chairman is there and he's the head of the organisation, and he's the man that, you know, the figurehead and all that. But you have told me on countless occasions, and I know for a fact, but the chairman is only as good as the team that's around. And if you want to look up, actually, your team has joined you.
Yeah, you are only as good as your committee members. We've had some fabulous committee members over the last 18 years. I got involved probably 16, 17 years ago, joined the committee, and within 2 years I was chairman. That's because there was nobody else left to do it. So I looked after it for a week, and 14 years later, I'm now standing down. But now we've had some tremendous committee members that put in an awful lot of hard work, and we've got to the stage where we are today with all their help. I mean, the first youth league to become charter standard in Nottinghamshire, offering mini soccer 9v9 and the 11v11 format of the game was a tremendous effort some 4 or 5 years ago, and one that we're rightly proud of.
Glenn, I'm not sure if you know this, but during the first hour of the show, when I was having a wander around, I bumped into a certain Mrs. Cobb. And we had a conversation about, now you're going to be at home all the time, apart from when you sneak off down the allotment. Ring me at 7 o'clock, he says. So I rings him at 7 o'clock, and at 7:30, and at 8 o'clock, I was at the allotment. I couldn't get a reply. Yeah, the Lord Nelson. But apparently, Glenn, you're going to be decorating.
Yeah, that's already been commented on, Mick, while you were swanning around out there. But yes, your colleague here, apparently so. But I've hidden all my paintbrushes. I thought I'd throw them away.
I think she's going to buy them for your birthday.
Well, she's probably
been
out.
You're decorating.
More.
Ted's plane making.
Yes.
Yeah, Alan, what are you going to be up to?
Resting.
That's probably about the best of the three of them. Well, as I say, the rest of the committee's wandered over. We're going to have a quick chat with them. We're just going to go for a quick break. We're not going for a quick break. We're not.
The producer,
I've got my timings
no.
wrong, haven't I? The producer says no. Okay, we're not going for a quick break, which means I've got to stand up and do some walking once again. Yes, I know, Andrew. And we're going to go all around, and everybody else is going to have a word now about the new Newark Youth League, what it means to you all, and is it a sad night tonight, Sally?
I think it is, yeah. It's an end of an era, and it's a chapter of all our lives. We put a lot of time into it, so, you know, yeah, it's an end of an era, and it's sad.
And are you decorating or plane making?
I'm neither.
I don't blame you, to be quite honest. What does it mean, or what has it meant to you?
Well, we all get involved with the children, don't you? You know, your kids want to do it, and all of a sudden you're in, aren't you? And you can't get out somehow. And but to see all the children, and 28,000 of them, I mean, that's impressive by anybody's standard. You know, and it's been a good league and beautifully run. And it's had some tough times, as all leagues do, but we've come through it.
If there is a legacy, there's 28,000 legacies, isn't there?
Absolutely, yeah. And look at the kids that have gone on to do great things, as Glenn said about Bamford, and, you know, that's some doing.
But, you know, the bottom line in all this, of course, is that it's come back. Come back! It is a special night for you all, because it, however we call it, it is the end of an era. But it's also Ted's night, isn't it? And, you know, Ted means so much to so many people in Newark, and I think it's you lot say what Ted means to the Newark Youth League and to you.
Well, I don't think I've met a more hardworking, caring, lovely man, to be honest. You know, lots of children have got a lot to thank him for.
I don't think this Youth League would have actually survived without Ted. I think he is the rock behind it.
You see where this is going, and Ted, we all love you so much.
I just think it's so many people have so many grateful memories and are very appreciative of what he's done and the time and energy, and they don't actually appreciate what goes on in the background for all the work that he's done. It's just, they just see a lot of the front face and stuff, but the hours that he puts in behind the scenes are untold.
And somebody that works at a county level, in fact, she's in charge, she's the boss, she's a CEO, no less. Elaine, we've had a long chat earlier on tonight, but the last 15 minutes of this, quite rightly, yes, it's about the new Newark Youth League, isn't it? But as we said in our little chat, where will the next Ted Harris come from? What, you know, the Notts FA can't and wouldn't have survived without the Ted Harrises of this world.
No, absolutely. And we all recognise the contribution that Ted's made. I know over the last few years, in regard to player registrations that came into the County FA, you've had numerous meetings, I believe in lay-bys, with Franklin Locker to hand over registration cards and player registration forms. And that sort of dedication to put yourself out to do that for the children is tremendous. And from the Notts FA, we thank you for everything you've done for Nottinghamshire football over the years. Thank you.
And a word from the Newark Youth League sponsors, and she's sitting here quiet in the corner. I said, I'm not going to... You can sit here nice and quiet, and you've been with the Newark Youth League for a long time. You've had an association with them, and you've obviously know Ted, and for your company to be with them, you obviously can trust them and know how hard working they are and what they're doing for the youth in Newark. But I just want to be a bit of a Ted word tonight.
Oh, a Ted word. Okay. Well, we're very careful on who we support at the power station, because it's important to make the right links. And I think when we got involved with the Football League, I think it was the best move we ever did. And it's been a pleasure to get to know the people. Ted has been adorable. He gives the best hugs ever. And it's just, it makes us all very proud. And I've come tonight and filled up almost 3 or 4 times, and I think it's been wonderful. I'm very proud.
And, you know, this is what Newark Sport is all about. Mr. Hardy, where is it? Because, you know, this is really what it is. I know you can't see on the radio, but if Matt does put the picture of it there, because there you are. That is Mr. Newark Youth League. Phil, you've been on the world stage. You mentioned earlier on, you name drops Alan Shearer, Nelson Mandela, you know. He's been on the world stage, and he's met the greatest. But you know, for me, without that man there, it wouldn't be football.
It's all about enhancing Newark football, and nobody in my lifetime has enhanced Newark football as much as Ted Harris. I think that the work that is done, the words that have already been said by esteemed people around me, says it all, really. And I don't want to negate their words, but Ted, you've been fantastic, not only for players, not only for the people you work with, but also for referees, mate. You've been a massive, massive supporter of referees. And I can remember when, Glenn, you're not going to like me for saying this, but I can remember when I was refereeing a new Youth League game, and you approached me at the end of the game and you thought that my performance could have been enhanced by some decisions that I might have given. And I actually agreed with that, because I respected you. Didn't know you all that well then, but you approached me in a nice way. You told me I wasn't very good. In a nice way. But I'm stood here with the thought that you helped me, and you helped a lot of people in Newark. And you should be proud of that, Ted, because I am. Thank you.
Glenn, let's come back to you. Time's running out, and time's beating us. We're nearly at 9 o'clock. Last few words on tonight from the chairman.
Well, it's been a fabulous evening, a celebration of junior football again in the Newark Sherwood district. We've had a fabulous evening, and I'll echo what's been said about the gentleman to my left. He's like a stepfather to me. We meet on a regular basis. We talk about numerous things, majority of the time, obviously, about football and junior football. And he's not going to get away with it over the next few years. I will be calling him, and I will be coming round on a regular basis to keep my eye on him. And if I can see a chink in his armour and find him a post somewhere, we'll find him something else to do. Come on, you have the final words, Ted. I know it's been a very, very difficult week for Ted, and it's lovely to get everybody here this evening supporting him, and as Jackie said rightly, giving him loads and loads of hugs. We're one big family in football in Newark, and everybody's rallied round, and we've had a super evening.
It's, you know, isn't it what Newark Sport is all about, Tony? You've sort of been around sort of longer than I am broadcasting on Newark Sport. You're the professional, you're the expert. One final very quick word from you on Ted.
I just think that Newark's lucky to have had him, and certainly I was lucky to have him at the Advertiser, because he filled oceans of pages for me. But it was always done with a smile and a lovely... do you remember that feature? I did a Christmas feature on you, came round to your house, and it was one of the best times ever. That's absolutely brilliant. And Newark's very lucky to have people like the people that are here today. Brilliant.
I'm glad you've all enjoyed your evening. I've been calling it the last ever new Newark Youth League presentation evening. Glenn puts me right and tells me in the current format, brackets, is, and hopefully next year we'll all be here again with the YEL doing the presentation, Ian, and I'm sure youth football in Newark will continue, but it's not quite ever going to be the same as it has been with the new Newark Youth League, an absolutely fantastic bunch. We've had a great evening tonight. We've been live for 2 hours in the Cedric Ford Pavilion at this wonderful presentation evening. I'm almost speechless to what to say, apart from we're back on the air again tomorrow night with Tony and myself. And we're going to talk about Dio. I really don't. Next week on Radio Newark Sport, we've got Lynn Coombs coming in on the Monday night, and we've got David Coote coming in on the Tuesday night. So I've got a referee coming in, Phil. We're going to talk referees again, and he's going to tell me his favourite story of when he got when he showed Maskew the red card and took 3 steps backwards because he knew he'd be in the wrong, and Maskew would spend the next 10 minutes telling him that he was in the wrong. And that's the sort of stories that we like telling, and we really do enjoy it. But the new Newark Youth League, the end of an era, Glenn, the start of another one?
No, I think we look to the future. I see it as a brand new start for the teams in Newark as they compete within the YL. So they're in safe hands, and I think they'll go from strength to strength.
You know, I've ended shows badly. I've ended shows correctly, but I've never ended a show with a round of applause. But for Ted Harris, that's how I'm going to end this show. From the Cedric Ford Pavilion and Radio Newark Sport, that's me finish. But for Ted Harris... We love Newark and we love Lincolnshire.